You're listening to Katie and Kate Carbondale. In-kind support comes from Katie and Kate comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louis the Computer Guy.
What's up, Matt?
Oh, nice snowy afternoon so far.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I'm dying to get out there and drive in it.
With other people.
Yes.
I kind of enjoy driving in it, but the other people make it much more challenging.
I do. What's that term? Power drift?
Power. Uh-huh. Yeah, if you're not sliding sideways, you're not in control.
Exactly. Yeah, I've always operated better in a sideways kind of mode. So, there's all kinds of geek news bubbling up on the wires here.
All right.
So, have you heard about these lowlifes that are capitalizing on the coronavirus? Have you heard about that?
I saw an article this morning, but I don't remember what it was about.
So, what they're doing is they're using hysteria about the coronavirus they're sending out emails, spam emails, that claim to have a link to a really important or very informative document that will help you learn all about the coronavirus and avoid getting it. And when you click on it, it takes you to an infected website and unleashes the clowns on your computer. So,
oh, fun.
And you never learn anything about the coronavirus. After all that,
I remember what the article was about this morning. It was that LCD prices are likely to go up because there's five major LCD plants in the epicenter of the coronavirus. I can't remember the name of the town. Well, it's 10 million people. I call it a town.
Yeah.
But that location houses a lot of LCD manufacturing plants, and five of the plants that are there have been affected by it so far.
Got it. Well, what do you think? I'm glad I bought a new LCD yesterday. Actually, it was Saturday.
As long as my ancient LCDs that have been working for 10 years or more at this point continue to work, I'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, well, that's an interesting angle on it. But I think most importantly, people should look out for... And the header of this email or similar emails is going to be something along the lines of coronavirus safety measures. So if something like that shows up in your inbox, all you GeekSpeak listeners, despite how tempted you may be, do not click on the links. Or, you know, yes. I guess just delete the email. But if you have to look, don't click on the links that are in the email because they're... You know,
I would assume that the CDC has some good information at this point.
Yes.
So if you really need to know, I would highly recommend going to the Center for Disease Control and checking out what they have to say about it.
Right on. Yep. So, yeah. And we were talking a little bit about the untimely death of Windows 7. Actually, it's timely, according to Microsoft. But
I don't know. Windows 7, I really liked Windows 7. It's like my favorite, I think it still is Windows 2000. I think that was the best Windows version of Windows ever created.
We completely agree on that. Absolutely.
So there's nothing finer, but XP was great.
Mm-hmm.
7 was fantastic.
Yep.
But it's now dead.
Yep.
So it's, they call it end of life in our world.
Yep.
So EOL.
So I guess the question is, if somebody wants to hang on to their Windows 7, what will the consequences be? So, and I'm just going to throw it in there that I was talking to one of my other geek colleagues, and what a lot of people don't know is that a large percentage of the ATMs and supermarket checkout consoles are still running Windows XP.
Right, but it's the embedded version, which I don't, when did that stop being supported, or is it still supported?
I don't know. You know, it's
Windows XP embedded, which has a longer support life than regular.
Which basically means that it is programmed into a chip on the main board of the computer, air quotes, that's running the thing. And so anyway, one of the most prevalent concerns that's been pointed out to me, because at first I was telling everybody like, oh, forget about it. Don't worry. It's, you know, you've got a couple years. And then it was pointed out to me that it's going to come to pass that the banks are basically going to stop allowing access to their sites if they detect Windows 7 on your end.
So, yeah, I was going to say the things you'll start noticing is that as you might go to install Google Chrome or Mozilla Firefox or something, and it'll say, hey, this version of Windows is no longer supported. You're stuck at version 75 or whatever, 76, whatever it is currently.
Yeah.
So at some point, you'll get stuck, and you'll have to, if you're using Firefox, you'll have to switch over to using an ESR version of Firefox.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so ESR versions of Firefox, I can't remember if it's every 5 or 10 versions, but basically they kind of take a snapshot, and then they don't do feature updates on it. They only do security updates. So, and they'll do that for a number of years on that particular version of Firefox.
I did not know that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So
they still have a version of Firefox ESR that is supported for Windows XP, if I remember correctly.
Mm,
but I'd have to go double check that.
Got it. Yeah. So that's one of the things, you know, a lot of people use their computers for online banking. And if your bank won't let you in, if you can't, you know, use your computer for that purpose anymore, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. And I was watching a couple days after support had ended, and I was expecting one of the security blogs that I read to come up and say, "Hey, there's a zero-day exploit for Windows 7, and you know now it's not going to be supported, et cetera, et cetera." I really haven't seen that yet. I've been kind of surprised because I haven't seen anything come across the news feed saying Windows 7 huge problem.
Yeah.
Windows is going to fix it, or I haven't heard anything like that, which is really interesting.
You know, one thing I've noticed about virus programmers, they're very fashion conscious, you know, I mean, because the bottom line is writing viruses for Windows 7 is so last year. Come on. You know, it's like, I mean, it's so easy. Come on. You know, you know what? I've realized that forgot to give our phone number. We need to do that.
Yes.
So 970-963-2976, and give us a call if you have anything interesting to add to that conversation or any other conversation that you find more interesting, or if you need your cables jiggled remotely. We have an app for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading that messaging service WhatsApp will no longer work on millions of smartphones on the 1st of February. Which I guess is kind of a late story. Those of you who have WhatsApp and were trying to communicate with it on the 1st already know this.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. So let's read it. Android and iPhone devices, which only supported outdated operating systems, will no longer be able to run the Facebook-owned app. So I guess if you have a later model, the iOS or Android, you're in good shape, right?
That sounds right.
Yep. So, yep. As enamored as you may be with your antiquated operating system, it's time to bite the bullet. That is, if you're a WhatsApp person.
And switch to Signal, like a reasonable person.
Yeah. I'm unfamiliar with Signal, I haven't used it.
Same concept as WhatsApp. It's an end-to-end encrypted tool. There's a foundation that supports it, and
so it's called Signal?
Signal, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife and I have been using it pretty heavily.
I'll road test that next week. So
it's been more reliable for us than SMS.
Okay. Cool. Very good. And we were kind of forced with our daughter living in China. We were forced to use WeChat. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
That scares me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The bottom line is, you want to let the Chinese know exactly what you're up to. That's the way to do it because they're monitoring everything. And they use it for everything. They pay, you know, you pay for your coffee with WeChat. I mean, just put it up there. You know, it's so yep. The Chinese government can track your money, and they can drink what kind of coffee you're drinking, and all that good stuff. So, I just feel like we just have to touch on the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl ads. It's actually, no, there was something else I had at first. No, but anyway, so which ad stood out for you, Matt? Which ad did you like the best?
I don't know. The one you mentioned was pretty good. I don't know. I don't really remember any of the ads, so obviously there wasn't one that really stuck with me.
Got it. So, yeah, I'd have to agree. The ratings that I'm looking at are on – it's on CBSSports.com, and they've got the SmartPoc ad, which has native New Englanders Chris Evans, John Krasinski, and Rachel Dratch going on about the SmartPoc feature on the Hyundai
sedan. That one was fun.
You know, that was – it was really wicked smart. So – and I didn't see. Did you see the Rocket Mortgage one with Jason Momoa? Did you see that?
I remember their logo. I don't remember the ad.
Got it. Well, that comes in at number two, and then the third one, I in my book kind of vies is a contender for number one, which is the Bill Murray Jeep Groundhog Day ad. Did you see that one?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was Bill Murray at his absolute best, and the groundhog wasn't bad either.
No, I don't remember having any of the noises it made in the movie. That could have been because I remember it made some kind of fun, like cheesy.
Oh no, but you're thinking about the gopher.
No, I'm pretty sure because he's like, "Don't drive angry." And he's like, "Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch," in the
movie Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'm at a disadvantage because either I have not seen that movie, or I have not seen all of that movie, or it's just been too long since I saw that movie. So I need to go back and watch that because I make that reference all the time. You know, it's like Groundhog Day all over again.
Uh-huh.
And so Google came in at number four. This is where the technology piece ties in with their nostalgic, beautiful thing about Loretta. Did you see that one?
Mm-hmm.
Where the man's like, you know, having Google remember all of these nostalgic facts about his, I'm guessing, departed wife. And let's see. The Doritos showdown at the OK Corral ad. Did you see that
mm-hmm.
one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do they make Sam Elliott's mustache do that?
I don't know. Probably somebody in Bollywood knows how to do
that.
They got
a ripple in there.
Yeah, that ripple was excellent.
Yeah. So, and not only that, but Sam Elliott busted some awesome CGI dance moves. You know,
you don't think he could actually pull those off?
You know, if he can, I have even more respect. You know, so, and of course, Tom Brady made a big announcement, and it wasn't the big announcement that everybody thought it was going to be, but they were tuned in. So, anyway, so I think that's, you know, we've hit the top five there. And so what else is on the tech radar here? Windows 10 may soon let you ditch Notepad and Paint. Paint I can do without, but don't touch my Notepad. I mean, how many times?
I use Notepad on an almost daily basis.
Yep.
Although most of the computers I manage, I've replaced it with Notepad++.
How about Text Wrangler? You ever use that? Actually, I don't know if they make Text Wrangler for PC.
I don't know. I haven't looked. But okay. Notepad++ for Windows is a great Notepad mm-hmm. replacement. I've been you can type stuff in there and it'll remember it. So the next time you open it up, it'll
That's what Text Wrangler does. It's awesome. So once again, 970-963-2976 if you want to call in and tell us about your favorite Super Bowl ad or.
Let's see. What is this red light? We didn't get trained on the new system.
Yeah.
So.
Is the phone ringing or?
I think we just.
So guys, okay. Here's how it works. This is Gavin here. So if you see the studio on airline light up, just simply punch the phone on and bring it up. It'll work.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay.
Wow.
So whoever just called, call back. We didn't know what the red light meant.
How dare they go and change the technology on us?
Right.
We like the old phone.
Yeah, I'd like the click and the blinking Christmas lights.
Yeah, the blinking light. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like a nice, calm little red light says, there's a call here for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, whoever it was is going to torture us. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight because I wanted to know what that was about. So, anyway, so I noticed that there is now an LCD flip phone. Samsung's coming out with it's called the Flip Z. And I don't know. Have you ever like thought to yourself, wow, I really wish I, oh, there we go. There we go.
All right. You're on with the geeks.
Yeah, hi there. I wanted to go back to this Windows 7 to 10
sure.
adventure.
And, okay.
I've got a Dell computer, and when I bought it, it, you know, had a free license for Windows 10.
Will you turn your radio down if you haven't already?
Yeah, my truck turns it off.
Okay, never mind. It's just a little. That's right. Okay. We'll work with it.
Yeah, you got a robot voice going on, but talk to us. So you've got a Windows 10, free Windows 10 license?
Yeah, supposedly, but, you know, I don't have any paperwork or key number or anything like that. I've heard that supposedly it's on the motherboard, and when I go through the update process, it pulls the key up itself. True?
You know, we were actually just talking about this before the show, and neither Matt nor I have encountered a Windows 7 that would give us any trouble upgrading to Windows 10.
Right. But that is true. That is true. The way that Windows 10 validates your license is based on immutable information about your processor, your motherboard, and other devices on the computer. So it's like, I'm not sure exactly what it's looking at, but it's either looking at like MAC address or serial number or other unique identifiers for that equipment. And it is...
That is where the license is.
That's where the license
code, you know, so.
Yeah, so as long as your hardware has been activated with Windows 10, then you can move forward with it. But I've neither Louis or I have encountered I've just been like randomly upgrading Windows 10 computers for my clients, and I've run into no licensing issues yet.
Okay. So just back everything up and then go for it, huh?
Yep. Google Windows 10 Media Creation Tool. That's the easiest way I know of.
Okay. I'll do that.
And you'll just download a little 18 meg file, open it up. It'll say, do you want to create the media or do you want to upgrade this computer? You say, upgrade this computer and follow the instructions, of course, after backing up.
Okay. Very good. I'll give it a try.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Have a good one.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Have a few more minutes left. 963-2976.
So what else do we got going on out there? Yeah. Don't use Wix.
You have something to untangle with them?
It takes a lot for me to like say something negative, but or here, let's work this in the positive. Before you deactivate an email address, specifically a Sopris.net email address, which is that's very pertinent to everybody around here. Looks like we get another call.
You're on with the geeks.
Yeah. Hey, I was wondering if you guys would be willing to talk a little bit about how you can use an app on your phone to open your garage door. Does that involve Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and all that?
So
I'm getting an echo back here in my phone, and to hear your answer, I need to turn my radio back on, right?
All right, we'll go ahead and talk about that till the end of the show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
All right. So let's talk about IoT, Internet of Things. In this case, a garage door opener.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
So there's a couple different ways it could work. Bluetooth does not probably quite have enough range. They're not to say that there are none out there that use Bluetooth to do that.
Let's back up. Garage door openers, are they using are they in the 2.4 gigahertz?
I think they're in the 400 megahertz.
Okay.
I think 475 or 416.
Okay.
I'd have to go double check, but there's some wireless bands in the 400 megahertz range for old school analog communication for things of that nature. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have a 900 megahertz phone, but I think it's 416 or somewhere in there, depending on the protocol they're using.
It's a frequency spectrum range between 300 and 400 megahertz.
Okay, a little lower, but
so, yep.
Right in there.
Yep.
So those lower frequencies can push through walls better. They usually have a little bit better range at a given power. And then I don't know what they're doing for authentication, but so what we're talking about is your garage door opener is going to have a Wi-Fi connection probably that you use to connect to your home Wi-Fi. And then that's going to go talk to a cloud server somewhere with whatever the manufacturer it is. You'll load an application on your phone and then you'll get it all connected on that. And what will actually happen is you will click on your phone. It'll use LTE or Wi-Fi, whichever you're connected to, go out to the cloud server, authenticate to that, and say, hey, I need my garage door open. And then that will go and talk to your garage door opener and do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be some where you set it up on your home Wi-Fi and you have to have your device connected to your home Wi-Fi and it's all internal, but there's a lot of usability problems with that. So I don't think you're going to find that very often unless you're doing a DIY kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So talk about instant gratification. Just found a thing called the SGC01 Smart Wi-Fi Garage Door Opener, and it is selling on Amazon for $19.99. We're not here to promote that product. We have no idea if it works or not, but it looks like it does everything that you would need. It's compatible with most garage door opener models, and it basically is Wi-Fi enabled. So you join it to your Wi-Fi, and then you have an app for your phone that allows you to trigger it, and the little Wi-Fi enabled device in your house goes ahead and blasts out the frequency burst to match your opener and opens it. And it even has a door position monitoring. Looks like you can...
So it's probably something you wire into the part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Door position status using an animated garage door. And it keeps a history of your turn on off times. And so hey, there's an answer for you. But if you can find one that costs $49, my rule of thumb is don't buy anything that costs much less than $50.
Well, and there's a whole other set of security things that we can talk about on that. So
yeah, maybe next time. So.
Yeah, we'll talk about some more IoT next time. We'll
Good
be
deal.
Back on the third Monday here, which will be, let's see here, that'll be the 17th. So we'll be back here at 4:30 on the 17th.
And that's President's Day.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So drive safe. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
You're welcome.
Have a good week.